here or more here on Wednesday, the 27th of March. The prep tip of the day is to check out all your vehicles, make sure that the gas, the oil is changed with proper new filters, oil filters, gas filters, air filters. Make sure the tires are checked out. If you're not competent to do that, make sure you have a competent local mechanic do that on your behalf. You might want to check out the Amsoil products. I'm an Amsoil dealer, and I've had great service from Amsoil products for many decades. With Patient Wayne Agreen and my friend Professor James McCanny. Professor McCanny taught astrophysics at Cornell University. He taught mathematics at Cornell University. He's the author of 12, 13 books, more on the way as he finds the time. His website's linked at my website at thelibertyman.com. Jim is also a weekly talk show host and amateur archaeologist. Good morning, Jim.
Good morning, John. How are we doing?
Well, fantastic, sir. I'm not sure what part of the world you're in. You might be in some remote jungle in Central America, but yesterday morning in the middle of the night after 1 a.m., a cargo ship hit a bridge in Baltimore, causing the bridge to collapse, probably six or more people dead. And it's shut down the ninth busiest port in the world for probably many months, maybe a year or more. Are you aware of that, Jim?
Yeah, I saw that. I saw that. Of course, it was top in the news no matter where you look, but unbelievable. That bridge just buckled and collapsed its entire length, not just... And that also almost makes you wonder, in the design of the bridge, who designed this thing that if one of the pillars was taken out, the whole thing would go down?
Well, that's a good point. And I was just talking to a Navy veteran the first hour. He said the bridge over the harbor in San Diego is built such that if it was brought down, the bridge would float on the water. That's a pretty smart design, wasn't it?
That's interesting. Yeah, because if you look at other major bridges and extenses of overwater passages, like in the Florida Keys, for example, if you hit one of the bases for those structures, it would just be real local. It wouldn't, you know, and that could be repaired post-haste, you know, and short. I remember now they've compared this to the Minneapolis bridge that went down, and I forget the year. It was a couple decades ago. But they were working on resurfacing the bridge, and I think my own theory of what happened, I knew a guy personally who was a riverboat captain of a tourist boat who saw it live. He was there on the river. He had just passed under it with a boatload of people. And they were coming back, and so he was looking right at the bridge when it came down. But there were workers up on top with jackhammers. And I think what they did is now the bridge was supported by steel cables.
Right.
And then, of course, there's all of the cement structure on top. But literally, it was almost like the Golden Gate Bridge in that there were, but these cables were in the bridge itself.
Right.
And so what they think happened is one of these guys with a jackhammer went through one of these cables, and when it snapped, the whole thing, you know, the tension release was enough to cause the whole bridge to
really?
Collapse. But there's talking about the time frame, there were some people I actually knew who were went to work on the project, and they said, I'm going to retire here. I'm going to be working on this for the next 20 years.
Really?
You know, thinking, you know, in construction, because that was the mentality. This is going to take a long time to rebuild. And they hired a guy from Colorado to come in, an expert in bridge technology or whatever. He fired everybody. He brought in his own crew, and they had it back up and running in, like, record time, a number, you know, maybe 6 to 9 months or something like that.
Oh, good for him.
Yeah, but I remember the people were shocked that this guy came in and just, you know, he just got rid of everybody who thought they were going to retire on fixing this bridge and brought in his own people and had it done in record time. But the one in Baltimore is extensive. I mean, it's much bigger. The one in Minneapolis was maybe, I've been on many, many times. Might have been 100 yards long, maybe 200 at most.
Well, this bridge is 1.2 miles long in Baltimore.
Yeah, yeah. And so this is you know, tear it down and build a whole new one, literally.
I imagine. Well, General Flynn, who I met a couple of weeks ago, is referring to this event as a black swan event. Is the there's actually 9 ports inside that bridge, which combined shipping is the 9th largest shipping area in the world. It's a major, major port. It's going to hurt our economy. We don't know how much, but it's certainly going to hurt our economy, isn't it, Jim?
So now, is the idea that the goods that were transported over the bridge are essential to the shipping?
No. Not the bridge is almost irrelevant. The bridge didn't even exist for the first 200 years of our existence. No, it's the deep water ports inside the bridge. That's what's important.
Yeah, but they can clean that up in a heartbeat in terms of getting the wreckage out of there. I think that could be done really fast.
Well, we'll see, because first of all, it's in the water, which makes it difficult, and it's steel and concrete and cables. All those cables.
Right. It's a mess
as well.
There's no question. It's a mess.
Right.
But I mean, if you look at, say, let's look at something else. Look at World War II Pearl Harbor. They sank battleships, and those ships, they got them up and going again.
Right.
If you look at major destruction of facilities, like, say, the bombing, the B-17 bombing of the ball bearing factories or things like that, the Germans had those up and running within a week and actually expanded capacity, you know. And so the ability to recover from things... But if it's simply a matter of getting the bridge out of there, that could be done
with somebody who knows what they're doing.
The
major construction companies are being brought in as we speak to clear out that debris so the shipping can continue.
Right. And then to rebuild it, of course, that's what I was not sure about. But you clarified that the bridge was not used as an essential route to bring shipping goods in and out of the port.
No, we survived for 200 years without that bridge. It was opened in 1977.
Oh, wow. Okay.
As a side note, President Biden claims to have ridden a train over that bridge, which there's never been train tracks on that bridge.
Biden, the real Biden, I'm not sure he can make any claims, but maybe the earlobe attached Biden... the wooden head,
Well, I watched the State of the Union, and there may be 2 fake Bidens, but one of the fake Joe Bidens delivered State of the Union this year again, sir.
Uh-huh. Yeah, I have no idea. I don't keep track of it too much. I try not to, but when I see it, sometimes I send you one.
Right. I watched it long enough to determine if it was a real Joe Biden or one of the fake Joe Bidens. And, you know, I did a memorandum to the Republicans in my county talking about the 2 Joe Bidens, and some of them heard of it, some never heard of it, but the photographic evidence that there's at least 2 Joe Bidens is very clear and convincing, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, there's no question. And if you did face recognition of the whole face and head, the fake Joe Biden would pass a very primitive face recognition program.
Absolutely. Well, okay. Well, I know you pay attention to a lot of things. What's high on your list this morning, sir?
Well, here's something that's interesting from a physics and from an archaeological point of view. They found a lot of art, and this goes down into South America, into Peru, and also up into the American Southwest. There's a device called the atlatl, which is an Aztec term. And it's basically a spear thrower.
Right.
It's like an extension of your arm.
Right.
And so it's like, and then it's got a little nook up on the top, and they take on various forms. Sometimes they're straight. They can be as simple as a stick with a hook on the end.
Right.
I had an archery business back in the 90s, and I actually sold atlatls. I made them and sold them. But anyway, there's our artwork and rock paintings and petroglyphs, etc. And this was a sport that they had. Now, they would take the plumes of a bird, like the wing feathers, the big ones, and they would make like this bundle, kind like a what would you call it? Badminton, the badminton right, birdie right. that they hit over the, you know, that's kind of right. like a in the concept of a bird. And the original ones had feathers, the right. one, the badminton birdie.
I remember those,
I remember using them with actual feathers. But anyway, what they would do is they would tie a string around one of the darts, one of the spears, and attach one of these bird plumes. And so one guy would throw that, and then other people would attempt to hit the feathers, the big glob of feathers, with another atlatl spear. And this is a sport to see who could actually do this. And the reason I thought this was interesting is because when I had my archery business, mainly what I sold were Old English replica longbows. I concentrated on longbows and what they called at the time traditional archery. I'm not sure right. they still use right. that term in the archery industry, but it's recurves and bows without the wheels and pulleys. I went out in the morning. I would go out. I would be at events, and these were open air events where I'd sell my goods and participate, etc. But anyway, I had sold this woman she made the flax for my strings. She made the linen, because that's what the strings of the bow were made out of. So this woman, I made her a longbow. So anyway, we're out in this pasture walking early in the morning, and she was talking about how Robin Hood could split an arrow. And I said, well, I can split an arrow in the air. I can do better than Robin Hood.
Really?
And so anyway, she goes, no, nobody can do that. So I said, okay, shoot your arrow. So she shot the arrow up, you know, and she had like a 35-pound bow. So it was, you know, out there maybe 50 yards. So I took my bow, which was a much heavier bow, a long bow, and I hit her arrow in the air. She couldn't believe it, because I'd been dealing with archery since I was a little kid. I could hit gophers at 50 yards away. You know, I had a bow in my hand more than I had a toothbrush. But anyway, she couldn't believe this. But there's a physics technique involved here, too. And that is that if there are two gravitationally bound objects, one in a free flight parabola, and you aim at it, and this is taking away friction or air wind resistance, if you aim right at the object, then they're both going to fall at the same rate. And so it's like aiming directly at the object. And they're going to fall at the same rate and then collide eventually. So anyway, it's kind of a physics principle at the same time. So I used that. And the longbow has very heavy arrows, and therefore they don't have much wind resistance, you know, or effects of wind resistance. So anyway, it's much the same as this ancient game. They call it the moche toss. That's a modern name. It's kind of like a form of badminton. But at any rate, that's kind of like my archaeological discussion.
Amazing.
Is that this game goes back to the ancient Peruvians.
Amazing. Yeah. Well, hopefully the consequences of losing was not death, because I know some of those games, the losers were put to death, weren't they?
Well, yeah, if the big game, can you imagine the Super Bowl? If you lose, you know, you get put to death on the field by your commanding officer or whatever.
That would, I'm not so sure I'd want to play that game. Jim, we got our first caller here. We got Bernie in Ohio. Good morning, Bernie.
Good morning, Professor and John. It's Bernie in Ohio. Questions on the solar eclipse. Is there going to be a serious temperature drop?
No. There are effects, however. The people that are in the totality, there are effects, and there are psychological effects, you know, and I don't think it makes you crazy or anything like that, but there are and I think they must be related to electrical effects, because the moon for that short period of time gets right between you and the sun. But there are physiological effects. And so are you in the totality? Are you going to be in the zone?
I don't think so. I'm in, just southeast of Columbus, Ohio, which is central Ohio, basically.
Well, it's supposed to go over.
I don't know
Columbus
about that.
Columbus is included. Columbus is included.
Oh.
Actually, west of Columbus.
You.
If you go to I forget the town, but about 100 miles west of Columbus is the center. And Columbus will be included. But if you're southeast, you might slip out the edge of the totality.
Okay. Let me ask you this. Would this have anything to do with the effects of the jab?
Oh, boy, I don't know. I don't know about that. But anyway, I was going to spend a little time today talking about the eclipse here. So good that you brought that up.
Question. Why are they encouraging people to have 2 weeks of food? Is all the trucking going shut down? All these electronic, how the computers know what to put on the trucks and to order?
Well, you know, there's two sides to this. If I were the mayor of some little town in Ohio or Indiana or Texas, whatever, and I was expecting an influx of 100,000 people, then I'd say, well, you know, we better have the National Guard here. And that may sound a little bit extreme, but what if there was a natural disaster? I mean, it could be something as natural as a rainstorm where all these people are caught there, you know. And to answer your original question, it only lasts for 4 minutes. If you're in a given place, it only lasts for about 4 minutes, and it's moving at about 1,000 miles an hour. If you were to, like, try and fly underneath the zone and stay up with the totality, you'd have to fly at, maybe 800 miles an hour to keep up with it.
Yeah.
So it's not like anybody's going to drive their car and get an extra minute or something. But it only lasts for about 4 minutes, the totality. And then the whole event might be 20 minutes before and 20 minutes after, where it starts to fade out. And by the way, people, do not look at this with the naked eye. There are special glasses people sell. I don't recommend anything. People have telescopes with special filters and cameras with special filters. But anyway, I'll talk a little bit more about taking pictures, because just to mention, this is an opportunity for amateur astronomers to disprove general relativity. Because the original experiment by Eddington in 1919 was, he faked the data. He cherry-picked the data. And a major component of cosmology is general relativity, and it's false. It is not true. The gravitational objects do not bend light. Anyway, okay, that's another story. But back to the
question.
Go ahead, yeah.
Okay. Here's a question that they're now saying on MSN, I guess, that fatal traffic accidents. Is this because people are going temporarily have their eyesight negatively affected?
Well, no, it's not different than going through a tunnel. Say you go through a tunnel, you got to turn your lights on all of a sudden. It's dark. There's no light in the tunnel. You know, it's like night.
Okay.
For a couple of minutes.
Okay. No permanent damage then to the...
No. That's goofy. I mean, to imagine that people can't drive, but most people would be stopped and parked someplace. The other thing, a thought I had, was we have more immigrants coming into the country across the Texas border than are going to be moving into these zones of the totality. You know, you might have 100,000.
Did you know that essential oils have had a multitude of natural health and skin uses in history?
Hold on, gentlemen.
Would have been somewhat forgotten by recent civilization. Susanna's Secret offers 100% pure natural oils at prices you can actually afford. Do you have a house or office with a musty smell or mold? Studies have shown that essential oils like the one in our Thief and Robbers blend will kill or inhibit mold, viruses, bacteria, and fungus. Just diffuse with it, and you will see the long-lasting effects that even synthetic chemicals don't achieve. Purifica, another one of our products used to clean and freshen your house or give a natural scent when drying laundry. For that special lady, we offer a ginger argan oil in a beautiful cosmetic bottle, or a pure argan oil, a natural acne-fighting product. Check us out at SusannaSecret.com. That's SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com. SusannaSecret.com.
Attention, freedom-loving patriots. Are you ready to dive deep into the principles that founded our great nation? Join me, Peter Serafin, and the Institute on the Constitution as we light the way to a brighter future with the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. At liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom, you'll find a treasure trove of online courses on the U.S. Constitution, carefully crafted to empower you with knowledge to defend your rights and liberty, whether you're a student, a history enthusiast, or just a concerned citizen. These courses are for you. Gain a comprehensive understanding of our Constitution's principles, the wisdom of our founding fathers, and how to apply them in today's world. As a special offer to our freedom-loving listeners of Republic Broadcasting Network, use coupon code RBN at checkout and get 20% discount on any course. Join the Liberty Lighthouse Classroom and be a part of the movement to uphold the values that have made our nation exceptional. Unleash the power of knowledge and protect what truly matters, our Constitution. Visit liberty-lighthouse.com/classroom today. Don't miss this incredible opportunity. Use code RBN for 20% off. Together, we'll be the beacon of freedom our founding generation envisioned. Liberty Lighthouse Classroom. Illuminating minds, empowering patriots.
Did you know the IRS publicly admits that income tax is collected by voluntary compliance? Get the information you need to help you avoid income tax with these 5 easy steps. All you have to do is go to avoidincometax.com to get your 5 easy steps on how to avoid the IRS income tax. Escape the IRS. Let avoidincometax.com help you. We guarantee our 5 easy steps or your money back. Go to avoidincometax.com.
Well, I wish I was in the land of cotton wool, town there I'm not forgot to look away, Dixieland. In Dixie's land where I was born in early on one frosty morning, look away, look away, Dixieland.
Backlist, Jim. My website is thelibertyman.com. There's a lot there. If you have issues with pain, issues with sleep, check out the Energy Cleaner. I'm offering a 90-day money-back guarantee on Energy Cleaner at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Professor James McKinney. His website's linked at my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jim, before we get back to our discussion with Bernie, tell people how they listen to your radio show live and to the archives, if you would, please.
Yes, John. Tomorrow night, Thursday evening at 6 p.m. Central Time from WWCR Nashville, Tennessee, the James McKinney Science Hour at the Crossroad, airing in its 24th year, commercial-free. And tomorrow night, I'll be talking a lot more about cosmology and the significance of this eclipse relative to cosmology and the issues of science related to this that have historically and the modern version, a lot of things going on with what I call the death of cosmology. It also streams on WWCR.com, Tower Number 2. And then also all the archives are on my webpage, the JMCCSCI.com, which is linked from your page, John. And so many different ways to listen.
All right. You have more of a response for Bernie there before we move on, sir?
Well, just about the safety aspect. If I were a guy with a family, it's probably not the place I'd go to. And the reason being, if somebody will shoot up a Super Bowl parade, it's just a magnet for nutcases, PSYOP operations, or whatever else might go on. I think I just stay home and watch it on TV myself.
There you go.
If it's getting to the point where, public things are not safe. And, it might be a crazy, it might be a government PSYOP to another one in their notch on their belt for trying to control firearms. You know, you just don't know. But and then just couple it with too many people in one place at one time. And it's not organized. It's not like a football game where everybody goes to a stadium. You know, they have a designated driver, and then when it's over, everybody goes home. This could be people coming the day before, people that, who knows? You know, it's just a recipe kind of for me. I'd say 99.99% of everything is going to be just great, but it's that, you know, you don't want to be in the wrong place at the wrong time type of thing. So, but like I was talking about before the break, is that you have more people coming across the Texas border per day than you're going to have influx of people coming into an area. And there's a worry that, you know, maybe the grocery stores will be raided or the cell phone towers will be overloaded because everybody's going to have their little camera out on their phone running, sending messages and stuff like that. So it could overload the cell phone local networks, things like that. So you can imagine, you know, but it, like, for example, with gasoline, if I were going to go there, I wouldn't go to tank up at the local place in Ohio. I would tank up the next state over and then drive there, and then you'd have enough gas to get back out of there. So it should not be a big issue. But, you know, there are going to be taxation or overusage of some facilities maybe, but this is only going to last a few minutes and then it's over. People go home. So I don't think it should be that big a deal. The other half of it is, could this be used for a false flag event? And that's, you know, then they go, oh, conspiracy theory. Well, no. In the day we live in, the expression in the government is don't let any event go by without making use of it. And this would be a perfect one to make use of it. Now, you have to understand also there's the fear that the New Madrid fault line will give way and have a major earthquake, because it actually happened to coincide with a new moon in 1811, when the big earthquake occurred there, rang bells in Boston. The whole eastern part of the country shook. But understand, today the military has the ability to cause earthquakes and to induce them. I wouldn't say cause them. That's, they're not providing the energy. They're providing the trigger mechanism to trigger earthquakes. So you got that thrown into the mix, something we've never had before. And so there's all kinds of things that could happen to, then mix that in with everything else. A lot of people out of place, bridges falling down, people can't get back home, people that don't know where they are, you know, depend on GPS to find their way home. So anyway, there's a recipe other things to happen.
So no danger of flash freezing.
Never break the record.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
It's primitive as can be.
Don't be a victim. Is your home and car protected from an EMP event, or will you be a victim? EMP Shield will protect your home, car, or generator from the damaging effects of an electromagnetic pulse and lightning. Folks, this is the exact equipment the Department of Defense uses to protect their infrastructure, and each unit comes with $25,000 of insurance coverage. To get a $50 discount on each unit purchased, go to thelibertyman.com. That's thelibertyman.com. Or call the toll-free order line 24 hours a day. 800-592-9543. That's 800-592-9543. Don't be a victim.
Find your inner rebel at Dixie Republic, the world's largest Confederate store, located in Travelers Rest, South Carolina. The anti-white, anti-Christ, anti-Southern world ends at the asphalt. Welcome to God's country. Log on to DixieRepublic.com to view our Southern merchandise, from flags to t-shirts to artwork. At the store, browse through our extensive collection of belt buckles and have a custom-made leather belt handcrafted in our Johnny Reb's Gun and Leather Shop. That's DixieRepublic.com, where you can meet all of your Southern needs.
Support those that support the network. Support Dixie Republic at DixieRepublic.com. Email ProudSouthern123@gmail.com and let them know that RBN sent you.
Tom Bolton for Ease Off. I know so many of you are finding our Easy 4 carcass drop and lift an essential tool for your meat processing operation, but today I want to spotlight four of our new products. First, our right height hog cradles with steel or aluminum frames. Our customers love this back-saving innovation that enhances sanitation and speeds production. Next, our beef cradles with stainless steel or aluminum frames eliminate rust and corrosion. We hope you'll compare our quality and prices for this essential part of your processing line. Our cradles are especially effective when used with our power skinner. And finally, our hook tumbler will keep your hooks clean and polished. EaseOff.com. We make pigs fly. Cows, too.
EaseOff, LLC. 417-932-6419.
But I'd like to ask each of you what it is you value so highly that you are willing to fight and possibly die for. We will call that Texas. The Mexican army hopes to lure us into attempting escape. Almost anything seems better than remaining in this place, penned up. If, however, we force the enemy to attack, I believe every one of you will prove himself worth 10 in return. We will not only show the world what patriots are made of, but we will also deal a crippling blow to the Army of Santa Ana.
If anyone wishes to depart under the white flag of surrender, you may do so now. You have that right.
But if you wish to stay here with me in the Alamo, we will sell our lives dearly.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jared Moore here on Wednesday, the 27th of March. Yes, my website is thelibertyman.com. If you want to live in a community where all your neighbors are conservative Christian patriots, we have a place for you. That's the Arkhaven Intentional Christian Community in northwest Arkansas near Harrison. I've been there. It's beautiful. I'll be going back again here this spring to see the spring beauty. Check it out at thelibertyman.com. Visiting with Professor James McKinney. His website is linked to my links page at thelibertyman.com. Jim, do you have some further comments for Bernie?
I just want to kind of qualify what I was saying before about the safety. I think for most people, it would be a lot of fun. Take the family, but it's on a Monday, I believe. April 8th is on a Monday, I believe. Also, I would say be cautious. And I would tend to stay away from crowds, big crowds of people. And there's so much area that this is going on that I don't think there should be any problem finding a place where you're kind of out there with very few people, at least. But other than that, my aspect
One more question, please.
My aspect is not to talk about this, although I'm trying to bring some sanity, because there's people out there saying it's the end of the world. There are towns called Nineveh in the totality. You know, and here's the thing about that. If you took a line across any place in the United States, especially the eastern United States, you're going to find multiple, many, many communities that are named with biblical names. And so that's just the way it is. Most of these were named in the 1800s. And of course, they used biblical names because the country was primarily Christian. And so that is not something to write home about. That's just the way it is. So there's all kinds of things. There are people talking about, you know, prophecies being fulfilled, and, you know, it just goes on and on. So what I'm trying to do is just concentrate on the science aspect of this and the general relativity and how Einstein himself disagreed with general relativity because it didn't include electromagnetism, basically. But anyway, that's about it. I'll be talking a lot more about this on my show tomorrow night if people want to delve into this a bit deeper. Also, like my show last week, I talked about the scientific aspects of the total eclipse.
One more question, Professor. Thank you. So there's no danger of flash freezing. EMPs, no. Should our radios be in Faraday cages or no?
No, this is not a, you know, not an issue like that, no.
Okay, thank you. Thank you, Professor. Okay, thank you, John.
You're welcome. Call number is 512-248-8252. What direction would you like to go next, Jim?
I had a web page up here. Just a second. Let me pull that back. And this is from archaeology.org, which is a, they also have a magazine. But this is one of my pet peeves. Here is their top archaeological discoveries of the week. And they start out by saying 2,000-year-old structures unearthed in Nepal. This is a headline.
Right.
And the very first thing they have there is 2,000-year-old. Well, wait a minute. You know, they just dug this thing up. Where does the 2,000-year come from? And that's what drives me crazy about archaeology. The very first thing they do, in fact, in the title of the article where they announce this, is a date. Where does this date come from? Who figured this out? You know.
Right.
And then there's the very next one says 4,300-year-old Egyptian tomb uncovered. Wait a minute. Where does that come from?
Right.
4,300 years is a long time ago. How, you know, where exactly did this come from? But this is the state of archaeology. And then the other ones talk about various things. And the first thing they do is put a date on it. That is what makes archaeology a dead science, is this normality of putting dates on things and structuring it into what they already know. But that's the point of peer review, is because it makes them look smart. And if an archaeologist dug something up and said, well, gee, this is new, we don't know anything about it, and we can't put a date on it, they would sound stupid and maybe lose their funding. So the very first thing they got to do is put a date on it. Makes them sound authoritative, like they know what they're doing, but it really destroys archaeology as a science.
Okay. All right. What direction would you like to go next, sir?
I'm encouraging people with this eclipse coming up. I'm encouraging people to go see the eclipse if they have amateur telescope equipment. And this is for people that are very adept at their equipment and know the filters to use, etc. But in 1919, Arthur Eddington went to an island in the middle of the Atlantic Ocean. There was a total eclipse there, and he took a picture of the total eclipse of the sun with the star background. And the whole idea is to prove that light bends around a gravitational object, which was the point of general relativity. So he goes and he does this, and then they have actually very bad conditions. World War One is going on. There's another guy named Dyson, his buddy, and some other people who go to a different place in Africa to do the same thing. And collectively, they have very, very poor data. So they go back to England and they examine it, and they, instead of really looking at the data for what it says, they cherry pick the data and they do a statistical analysis and claim that it proves general relativity, which it never did. And so anyway, I'm talking about this on my own show in a, with great extent, but I want people here to understand that if there are amateur astronomers out there with basic telescope equipment, that would be equivalent to what Eddington had in 1919. They could redo this experiment and prove that general relativity, the bending of light around the gravitational object, is false. Now, there is bending going on, but it's due to something else. And that's what I worked on when I was at Cornell. But the whole world of cosmology is coming apart at the seams. The James Webb Telescope dwarfs the Hubble Telescope by a couple orders of magnitude in its ability to resolve galaxies, etc. And what they're finding is that when they look at galaxies are right next in time, right next to the Big Bang, they're fully developed. They're just like our galaxy, and they shouldn't be there because they're, you know, at that point of the universe, if we're looking back in time because of distance and the time it takes light to travel to us, there should not be any galaxies at all, let alone well-developed galaxies. And this is what I've said all along, is that every time you build a bigger telescope, you see more and more of the same. And that actually happened with the Hubble Space Telescope, but they could kind of sweep it under the rug. For example, with the Hubble Space Telescope, there was a region of the sky that was just dark. There was nothing there, and nobody could, with the best telescopes on Earth, they could never see anything there. So they trained the Hubble telescope on that location, and they're thinking they're looking out into the void after the edge of the universe. And the Hubble Space Telescope looks in there, and they find literally millions of galaxies in that region, in that dark region. And it's, yeah, that's what happens when you build a bigger telescope, because the old ones don't have enough resolution to or light gathering power to bring in those faint objects out there. Well, the same thing happened again with the James Webb Telescope. But now they're supposedly closer to the Big Bang, the alleged Big Bang. And so that's coming apart. That pillar of the modern cosmology is coming apart. The Eddington experiment, another pillar of modern cosmology, is general relativity. That's coming apart. That doesn't work. There's more and more groups of scientists that are writing letters, and there's a group of scientists right now from India that are writing letters. There's a pre-publication journal at Cornell University that you can publish online the articles, because a lot of times journal articles that are peer-reviewed might take 6 months to a year to be published because of the volume of material, the backlog. And so they can pre-publish these articles on a certain place, but that's being blocked by Cornell University. And so there's a big kind of information war. You have the cosmologists, the Big Bang people, trying to protect their turf, and this onslaught of other people, including myself, saying, hey, this stuff doesn't work. This is bad science. And the people in control of the Big Bang stuff are controlling all the equipment, the good equipment. Right. And the other people can't get in. So it's a literally a monopoly, government-controlled monopoly. And this goes all the way back to Hubble himself. And so anyway, it's something I'm involved in the background. And that's why basically I got rousted from Cornell, because I was saying this in 1979, but right in the face of the people that, you know, were in control then, the same, what would you say, genre of people got PhDs, and now they're old. They're in their final years of being professors right before retiring with tenure. And they're passing this off to the next generation of PhD students who really don't know anything. They don't teach these PhD students anything about history. or the history of science. All they know is what they read in a textbook or heard from their professors. Anyway, I just wanted to get on my soapbox a little bit. But hopefully I have a new book coming out very soon dealing with this entire topic. It's very complicated to understand everything that's happened in history. But the bottom line is that cosmology is really coming apart at the seams. You know, the idea that there's dark energy and dark matter, it's just all a bunch of hocus pocus. There have been Nobel Prizes given for this, for dark matter, for dark energy, for the Big Bang cosmology, for the microwave background radiation, all of these Nobel Prizes given for bad science. So it's really a mess. And, you know, volumes and volumes of peer-reviewed publications, all of which are trash. They're, you know, they none of it's true. And then not to mention being passed off to the public as being the top level of science.
Well, it sounds like the bad science is generational. It just continues, doesn't it, Jim?
Right. And the more... Because where does the money go? It goes to the same group of people.
Right.
So sometimes it started back with Clinton and even before, these groups would go to, like this group that supposedly took a picture of a black hole. You have all these scientists. Well, what are they doing? They're vying for a Nobel Prize. You know, you take a picture of a black hole that proves general relativity, and, you know, it's almost a shoo-in. But you have these institutions now with groups and groups of government-supported scientists vying for Nobel Prizes. And the Nobel Prize was never, ever meant to be institutionalized. It was always meant to be individual scientists working in their laboratory, making discoveries that were key, instrumental to understanding basic science. That's what the Nobel Prize was meant for. In the past years, the physics, especially the physics Nobel Prizes, have been given for institutionalized science, climate change, the Big Bang, microwave background radiation, but by government-supported science. And it never was meant to be like that. So it's become politicized. It's just a giant mess. That's all I can say. But in the background, there's this war going on. It started decades ago with a guy named Halton Arp, who was taking pictures of quasars that are physically attached to low redshift galaxies and basically disproving this idea. There's redshifts out there, but what's causing them? And that's where my research comes in. As I solved this a long time ago, but there again, if they don't like what you're saying, you get booted out of the ability to publish. I was publishing peer-reviewed journal articles, and they basically wrote to the editors from Cornell, the Carl Sagan and the boys, and said, "Stop publishing, or we'll blackball your journal." That's what they did. So they use their heavy-handed pressure to eliminate their competition.
The competition being you.
Yeah. Wait. at that point, I was the only person saying anything. Now there are more and more people coming on board saying the same thing from very different points of view, from experimental points of view, from... but anyway, I just wanted to... let people know what's going on in the science world. It's all coming apart, and even the news media is joking about it because they're laughing about, you know, you have black, you have suitcase or what do you call briefcase black holes, and joking at that now everything is a black hole. You know, the ridiculousness of what's going on in the scientific world relative to cosmology, etc. But just to clarify, there's a lot of good parts of general relativity, but the part about where light, electromagnetic radiation is affected by gravity is completely false. And so you have to understand what's good and what's bad. It's not all bad.
No, it's not all bad. Okay, we have our last break. We'll get your summary when we get back. Hold on, Jim.
Thank you. Are you one of the millions of people who feel like there is a dark cloud hanging over their heads whenever they're using pharmaceutical drugs? For some, the short-term relief can turn into an opioid addiction nightmare. Have you ever wondered why CBD oil is a billion-dollar industry? It's because it works better than opioids and is actually healthy for you. However, CBD oil is stripped of all other helpful compounds found in the hemp plant. According to neuroscientists, the whole hemp plant, otherwise known as hemp paste, is even more effective than the chemically processed CBD oil. Are you ready to take back your health? You can try hemp paste for the price of a cup of coffee.
Hemppaste.com/RBN. Free shipping on orders over $50. See the banners for hemp paste at republicbroadcasting.org and visit hemppaste.com/RBN.
People often write to tell us what has happened for them since starting Extendivite. Allow me to read a few. In 1 month, my blood pressure dropped significantly. I no longer get chest pain after exercise. It's amazing, and I ordered my second bottle. The reviews are spot on. My target is to get off BP meds, and if it keeps going like this, I see a light at the end of the tunnel. So far, a great product is what it claims to be. Great product. A few days in, and I could feel a difference for certain. Not checking medical stats yet. I know this is really working by how I feel. We'll continue to take this product. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit extendivite.com. That's extendovite.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Are you sick of censorship? TLB Talk is the cure. TLB stands for Truth, Liberty, and Balance. We are the newest and most unique social media platform to hit the internet. We were built out of necessity because Big Tech, Big Pharma, and Big Brother are out of control. The only thing bigger than them is when we, the people, are united. With that vision, TLB Talk was born. Our battlefield is in cyberspace. The battle we're in can be won by clicks of buttons and voting with your wallet. TLB Talk has no hidden agendas, no corporate funding, and we do not sell, trade, or give away any of your information. Our platform runs off of generous donations of members and merchandise profits. So please, check out our site. It's the best around. And be sure to stop by our store. It's loaded with items that'll have you feeling a sense of member pride and victory. Come unite with us today at tlbtalk.com and join the social media revolution.
So let's fix bayonets. We'll have the advantage of moving down the hill. They gotta be tired, the Rebs. They gotta be close to the end if we are. So fix bayonets. Ellis, wait. Ellis, you take the left wing. I'll take the right. I want a right wheel forward of the whole regiment.
What, you mean charge?
Yes, but here's what we do. We're going to charge swinging down the hill. Just like we pulled back to this left side of the regiment, now we're going to swing it down. We swing like a door. We're going to sweep them down the hill just as they come up. Understand? Does everybody understand?
Yes, sir.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. Jim, you got about 2.5-3 minutes to summarize your thoughts for the day and for the week, sir.
Next week I'll be talking about this week and next week on my show, I'll be talking about the eclipse and cosmology, more on that topic. But I also wanted to mention that my main webpage, the jmcanniescience.com webpage, has finally finished being upgraded, and the sales portion of that is now complete. So people can go there and buy individual books, something that's never been available before. Our libraries, etc., and that'll be expanding also. And from that page, you can get to the water filter page, to the grow tower page, all of the, that's kind of like the root page. But the short URL is jmccsci.com, so I encourage people to go there. The new look of the web page. Also, there happens to be a sale on the MR5 water filters that's going on. Just go there. So I'm not going to go into detail about all of that, but that's a major accomplishment after being royally hacked back in December. So it took that long to But then we also went through a complete revision of how the page looks and how it's going to move into the future. The other thing that's going to be added is a daily update, things that are going on, things that are in the news with some commentary. So that's being built right now also, so people can go there on a daily basis and listen to commentary about scientific issues that are going on. I always say that doing commentary on science is kind of like political humor. There's always something you can talk about, something going on in the news relative to science. So I hope to get more people coming back to my webpage for those daily updates, and that's just beginning now also. So anyway, a lot of work going on in the background, and that'll free me up so that I can do more of my work getting. I have 6 books that are on the shelf ready to be released, so I'm going to try and get these out one by one, and it's that last little bit of production that really takes a lot of time in releasing a book. So a lot going on there so that the public has better sources of information, and I'm archiving 50 years of my work. That's been a huge project, also available on the webpage. So
really,
a lot going on there.
That's a huge project. My goodness.
Yeah. It's really, because a lot of this work I did over that 50-year period, and I would do it, and there it is. But it wasn't organized into like a library format. Plus my education program for K-12 university students, that's there, hundreds of lectures. So anyway, organizing all of that so it's readily available for the public.
Well, you've been a busy guy. That's your persona. You're a busy guy all the time, aren't you?
Yeah, I know it. That's true.
Okay. Jim, thank you. Have a great week. We'll coordinate back next Wednesday.
Thank you, John.
Okay, we have a top of the hour break. We'll be back with my friend Jeff Nyquist. Stay tuned.
Tehebo Tea Club's original Pure Pouty Arco Super Tea helps build red corpuscles in the blood, which carry oxygen to our organs and cells. Our organs and cells need oxygen to regenerate themselves. The immune system needs oxygen to develop, and cancer dies in oxygen. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. The tea is also organic and naturally caffeine-free. A 1-pound package of tea is $49.95, which includes shipping. To order, please visit drinksupertea.com. The first word is drink, spelled D-R-I-N-K, then the word super, then the word tea. The complete website is drinksupertea.com, or call us at 818-965-9113, Monday through Saturday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. California time. That's 818-965-9113. DrinkSuperTea.com.
This is RBN, the Republic Broadcasting Network.